I remember being an evangelical and always listening to these prophecy buffs, and I always think to myself, I've really got to study prophecy, but who could do it? I mean, it was just a tangled mess.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
You had the newspaper in one hand, and you had the Bible in the other, and you're trying to, you know, it's like a gigantic theological, geopolitical crossword puzzle. Who knows what's up and down? The Bible is much simpler and much more joyful when it comes to the promise of the second coming.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the biblical case for the end times Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The resurrection of Jesus is foundational to the Christian faith. There's no doubt about that. But when St. Paul takes up his strongest argument for the resurrection of Jesus, he actually does it because he's defending the resurrection of the believer. The Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians 15 didn't have a problem with the resurrection of Jesus per se. What they were doubting, what some of them were denying, was actually the resurrection of the believer. And Paul says you can't have one without the other. And yet we still do find Christians today who say, in effect, well, it's enough that my spirit go to be with Jesus when I die. I don't really care what happens to my body. Why is that, and what should we say about it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about the resurrection of the believer. Pastor James Douthwaite joins us. He's pastor of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Fairfax County, Virginia, and he's authored an article for the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled The Resurrection Body. Pastor Douthwaite, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Have you encountered Christians who kind of have this, I think, maybe well-intended but deeply mistaken view? They'll say something like, you know, Jesus rose from the dead bodily, but my spirit's going to go live with Jesus forever in heaven. They, in effect, deny the resurrection, their own resurrection.
I actually had a dear man in my congregation say that very thing. We were in a Bible class, and I don't remember the topic, but he actually said that, and it floored me when he said that. I had taken for granted that they had been catechized and understood the resurrection of the body that we confess in the Creed every week, but he did not, and did not understand that Jesus' resurrection means that we will rise too. So it was quite a shock for a young pastor, but it's there, it's out there, it's even among some of our own folks.
Why do people believe this? What are the ideas or the presuppositions or the ways of thinking about ourselves as spirit and body that could permit, or maybe even sadly require, a mistaken Christian to believe such things?
Well, I think especially our current culture has divided who we are and divided our spirit and our body, that who we are isn't really both. Who we are really is just who we are inside, and our body is almost just along for the ride and not really who we are. And that kind of cultural thinking affects us and infects us, and sometimes we're not even aware of it. And so the way our culture talks, I think, does that when the modern thinking about soulmates. So it doesn't really matter what your body is, but as long as you feel connected inside, or same-sex marriage, it doesn't really matter what your body is. It's what's inside that counts. And that kind of thinking can lead us to believe, well, okay, my body doesn't matter. Jesus is just going to save who I am on the inside.
Is there also not just a disregard, but maybe even a denigration of the body, that the body, maybe something hearkening back to ancient Greek philosophy, that the body's actually a spiritual hindrance?
Yes, there is. We can begin to believe that as well, and that I just need to loose myself of the physical and simply focus on the spiritual. And it's kind of an ancient heresy, I think, that keeps coming back into the church called Gnosticism, which divides these things and focuses only on a mental spiritual aspect of religion and takes the body out altogether.
You say that this is not just one doctrine among many, but one that Satan especially wants to overturn in the heart of the Christian and the teaching of the church. Why is that?
Well, if he can knock over the resurrection, he can knock over our justification. Paul wrote it in Romans that he was raised for our justification, and we believe that that is the article on which the church stands or falls. And so if he can eliminate that, then he can undermine the rest. You know, Paul writes that this is the critical teaching, that if the resurrection has not happened, go home. You might as well not even be in church. Don't bother. It's all a hoax.
It is interesting, Paul's approach in 1 Corinthians 15, where he unpacks the resurrection. He's dealing, it sounds like, with a similar belief that, sure, Jesus might have been raised bodily, but not us. And his response is to kind of work backward from our ordinary way of thinking, not from Jesus' resurrection to ours, but from our resurrection back to his. Take us through his argument.
Well, he did have people in his congregation, in the Corinthian congregation, who were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. And I don't know if he was as floored when he heard that as I was when I heard it, but he writes his chapter in 1 Corinthians to especially reteach, or as he says, remind his congregation about this pivotal teaching that it is in the Scriptures, and there are evidence and eyewitnesses of it, and Jesus' resurrection means that our bodies too will rise.
He is drawing upon the Scriptures, he explicitly says. What kind of Scriptures, what possible places, even though he doesn't specify, what possible places is Paul thinking about when he says all of this about the resurrection of the body and Christ's resurrection, in fact, is taught in Scripture?
Well, he's referring to the Old Testament that he would have, that he was an expert in and would have taught his congregation. And so he begins by saying, in agreement, in accordance with the Scriptures, twice, actually, at the beginning of the chapter, and he could be referring to accounts in the Old Testament, like when the prophets would raise children who had died. Elijah and Elisha had done so. He could be talking about the translation of Enoch bodily into heaven, or the words of Job when he says that after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, and I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. So very strong emphasis on his body, even after being destroyed, will be raised and see God. There's also prophecies of Jesus' resurrection in the Old Testament, where the psalmist writes that his body will not be abandoned to Sheol. He will not let the Holy One see corruption. And then the story that Jesus himself points to of Jonah, that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he doesn't mention resurrection there, but as the folks who knew the story knew, that meant Jonah was spit out of his grave and Jesus would rise from his. So there's many references to resurrection in the Old Testament and other more general prophecies throughout others of the prophets in Daniel and Isaiah and Hosea. So it's actually quite an abundant teaching even in the Old Testament.
And you say he also calls upon outside of Scripture to the personal eyewitness of those who saw Christ raised from the dead. Why is that?
Well, perhaps there are those who are objecting to the resurrection who do not accept the Scriptures or will not accept the scriptural argument. And so he says, okay, but there are eyewitnesses. And in fact, there's over 500 of them. And if you were a lawyer and you wanted evidence and you had 500 eyewitnesses to the same fact, that's pretty impressive testimony to substantiate your claim. And so he says that there are these eyewitnesses, and if he could not deliver them, he would have been discredited, and certainly his opponents would have taken advantage of that fact. So the eyewitness testimony is very important to Paul in that regard.
So there's something that Paul's doing here, really. He may not explicitly follow this line of argumentation, but in effect, those who would take the position there's no resurrection of the dead, their position can be disproven by just a single example of resurrection. And it sounds like Paul's saying, well, there is a single example, Christ, and he's not the only example. We have others in the Old Testament scriptures as well. Is that how Paul's driving the thing?
Well, yes. I mean, when you make an absolute assertion, like his opponents were doing, there is no resurrection. And they had been doing that in Jesus' time as well. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and there were those that Paul spoke to that mocked him about it as well. When you make an absolute assertion like that, all you have to do logically to disprove it is present one counter-argument, and then the absolute falls. And so Paul, by presenting more than 500 eyewitnesses, discounts their objection. So there is a resurrection. Because Jesus has risen, we can present the eyewitnesses. And so if there is a resurrection, what does that mean for us?
Pastor James Douthwaite is our guest. We're talking about the resurrection of the believer on this Monday, the 7th of March. When we come back, Paul has an argument where death as the enemy must be defeated and destroyed utterly. We'll talk about that after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
We like our crosses full and our tombs empty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Monday afternoon, we're talking about the resurrection of the believer. Pastor James Douthwaite is our guest, pastor of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Fairfax County, Virginia, and author of a recent article for Modern Reformation magazine titled The Resurrection Body. Pastor Douthwaite, talk, if you would, about Paul's arguments also made there in 1 Corinthians, that in essence, death is the enemy that must be defeated and destroyed if all the other enemies are put under Jesus' feet.
Right. Death is what Adam brought into the world. As in Adam died and all creation was plunged into sin and death with him. So the wages of sin is death. So if Christ did not rise bodily, then he also did not really defeat death. Death or sin. Sin still won if his body is still in the grave. But if Jesus did defeat sin, then his body cannot be in the grave. And in the same way, if his body is not in the grave, then he did really defeat sin. We have the forgiveness of sins and justification.
And yet, as you point out, Pastor Douthwaite, not everyone then, and of course not everyone today, regards death as an enemy. Sometimes even Christians are tempted to view death as a friend, in some cases maybe even a savior from suffering and things like that. Talk about that, if you would.
We do. We've been deceived. When life is difficult, when you've been dealt a hand that makes life a great challenge, whether that is an unborn child or a very severe sickness that causes a lot of suffering, or even a very elderly person who is struggling with a lot of physical problems and perhaps loneliness, and having watched all their friends and loved ones die before them, it can be very alluring to think of death as something that could help us deal with this problem, something that can make my suffering go away, something that will help me instead of an enemy. And Scripture is clear that death is not a friend. It is an enemy, and it's not an answer to our problems. And Jesus came not only to defeat death, but to destroy it, to absolutely undo what Adam did, to reverse death and give us life. And through his own death and resurrection, that's what he does. And that's what Paul is trying to communicate in Corinthians, that Christ has done this. This is the good news. Death is not our friend. Christ is our friend. Christ is our victor.
So then he kind of comes around full circle and says, in fact, Christ has been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, back to the resurrection of the believers.
Right. The first fruits was an Old Testament, again, teaching. When the harvest came in, you would bring the first of your harvest to God and give it to him, and it represented that all the harvest belonged to God. So when he calls Christ the first fruits of the resurrection, that's a reference to his resurrection just being the beginning of the resurrection, that this isn't the only one. There's more to come. And in fact, all who are in Christ Jesus will be raised just as he is. So yes, it is an indication of our own resurrection. It's not just him.
Here are the tricky questions. And I'm sure that, you know, just like that Bible class encounter that you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the next questions follow, and that has to do with the body after the resurrection. And people naturally wonder, because our condition at death can be one of great age, body can be destroyed, people enter death, with all kinds of infirmities, and they want to know, what will the resurrection body be like? Does the Bible even begin to answer that question?
Yeah, they had the same questions for Paul, and he writes them in Corinthians, that some ask, well, what kind of body will we have? And we ask that today, how old will I be? Will I have gray hair? Will I be wrinkled? What age will I be? And we want to know the answers to those questions, but we don't really have the answers to those. We die, like you said, in all different kinds of situations. We had early Christians that were eaten by beasts. We had people who were never found after the World Trade Center collapsed. And what will become of their bodies, people want to know. And so Paul says that we will be raised, and as Job confessed, it will be my flesh and my eyes that will see God. When Jesus was raised, you could still see the nail marks and the spear in his body. So there's a continuity that the body that we have is the body that will be raised, but at the same time, it will be made new. It will be better. There will be a transformation, a discontinuity, that what is mortal now will be immortal, and what is perishable now will be imperishable. And Paul uses a really interesting phrase for explaining that. He says, what is sown a natural body is raised a spiritual body. So what is sown, what is placed in the ground as a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. And it sounds very weird. A spiritual body almost sounds like opposites put together. And I think maybe that is what leads some people to think that we'll just be raised as spirits. But that's not what it says. It says a spiritual body. And so the question is, well, what does he mean by that? And I think what he means is that our natural body is a body that is infused with sin and the body that dies. But the body that is raised, the spiritual body, is the body that is infused with the Spirit and is wholly enlivened and is transformed and will never be able to die again because it partakes of Christ's victory over sin and death and rises in Christ.
So, I mean, there's kind of a dual answer there. It will be you, this very body, the one that I can clap my hands right here, this flesh. It will be transformed to be like Christ's body in his resurrection. And beyond that, does Scripture offer any of those specific, you know, will I don't any longer have it, but will I have the flowing mane of blonde hair I used to have, or will it be what it is now? Pretty sparse gray stuff. None of those questions get answered, really.
I don't believe they do. That's almost a detail that's not given to us to know. Simply that we will be raised, it will be our body, but it will be better. It will be perfected. It will be glorified.
Finally, why does all this really matter? Why does the resurrection matter so much?
Well, it matters because it is Christ's victory over sin and death and the grave and the effect of Adam's sin that has infected us all. So if Christ has not been raised, Paul says, our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain, you have no hope, it's all nothing, it's a hoax, it's just a fraud perpetuated by a few people. But if Christ really did rise from the dead, then sin is atoned for, death is defeated and destroyed, Satan has been conquered, the grave has been conquered, and we have hope for this life and for eternal life. But if Jesus didn't raise, that's all gone.
And kind of coming back to where we began, to the person who listened to this and says, yeah, but isn't it good enough that when I die, my spirit simply goes to be with Jesus and with the ones whom I have loved? What's your pastoral response?
Well, I would say that who you are is a person made in body and spirit both. You're not one or the other, you're both, and you're not really you without both. So it's not good enough. And one of my favorite theologians, John Kleinig, I quote this often with my people to talk about this. He coined a new word to explain this. He said, we have beings in this creation that are just physical, and those are animals. And we have beings in this creation that are just spiritual, and those are angels. But man isn't either. Man is both. We are physical beings, and we are spiritual beings. It's not one or the other, and it's not spiritual trapped in a body, and the body is bad, and the spirit is good. All of creation is good. So he said, we are angels. We're both. And I love that word. And so if that's who you are now, that's who you will be for eternity also. Your body risen from the dead to be with Christ with his resurrected body forever. You made in the image of God and restored through Christ's resurrection and your resurrection.
Pastor James Douthwaite is pastor of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Fairfax County, Virginia, author of a recent article in Modern Reformation magazine titled The Resurrection Body. Pastor Douthwaite, thank you, and thanks to all of your members there at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church for their ongoing support of the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc.
Well, thank you for all your work. We really appreciate what you do as well.
When we come back on this Monday afternoon, March the 7th, we're going to be reviewing the movie Risen, part two of our review with Pastor Ted Giese. We're giving away a $40 AMC Theater gift card to the listener with the best question or comment on the movie Risen. That's coming up on the other side of the break. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC or go to our Facebook fan page. We have left space for your questions and comments on the movie Risen for Pastor Ted Giese on the other side of the break, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Your opportunity to win a $40 gift card from ANC Theaters. You can even take you and someone else to go see the movie Risen. We'll be reviewing it on the other side of the break. Then we'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Our series Top 3 Verses continues. We're going to talk about the devil's destruction on the cross, the top three verses with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.